our staff is our most important resource. So if we're putting all this investment into this resource, why wouldn't you want them to be as talented as they possibly can? I mean, I guess I didn't really think about the idea that our business is not about us or the profit that we make. Our business is how we can better serve our community and to know each other, to work better in teams, to understand how it is that we access different problems or situations and why, you know, it just makes perfect sense. But I mean, we're doing that to give back to the communities that we serve. It's not about us or what we can get out of it. It is, as Mary said, it's your servant heart, your service oriented self. What are you going to do with it? It's a benefit, sure, that I know more about myself personally, and I, of course, made my husband take the StrengthsFinders test and judge him accordingly, and how helpful that was. But that's not really what it was about. It's really about how can I do a better job as a librarian, as an administrator, to making sure we have the resources that we need to serve our community.
Hello, everyone. It's Nathan Freeberg, and today I am joined by Sarah Schlipp-Riedel. Hello, Sarah. How are
Yay.
You?
Hello, Nathan. How are you?
I am just absolutely fabulous. And you?
I'm terrific.
I guess I just asked you that, didn't I? That's okay.
That's okay.
Well, I'm glad, Sarah. But hey, did you know that Leadership Vision exists to help people become more aware of what makes them strong so that they can maximize their contribution to the success of a team so that the culture of that entire organization will be healthy and thriving so that ultimately everyone will be equipped to fulfill whatever organizational mission they have in front of them?
Woo! Wow, I did know that. Did
you
know that over the last 20 plus years of doing this work, we have had the pleasure of working with large for-profit organizations with big budgets and small nonprofit and government agencies with limited resources. We've worked with well-educated CEO and senior leaders, high school and college students, and literally every conceivable type of leadership position in between.
Yes, Sarah, I did know that as well. And you know what,
you
though?
Might.
Yeah, in all of these various settings, we have found that people are people, right? Everyone has similar dreams and similar roadblocks. People want to be invested in, cared for, challenged, and recognized for their talent and hard work.
That's so true. And as consultants, we feel honored to be invited into these organizations to help shape their culture and for a time at least be a trusted voice of influence as they try to move the needle forward on whatever their organization goals are.
So today on the Leadership Vision podcast, Sarah and I are honored to share an interview we did not too long ago with one of our multi-year clients.
That's right, Nathan. You'll hear from Mary and Sophie from the Placer County Library System about their journey towards becoming a culture rooted in strengths.
During our conversation today, we talk a little bit about why they reached out to Leadership Vision in the first place, some of the highs and lows of our nearly 4 years together, a few lessons they've learned along the way, and some of the ways in which focusing on what is right about their people has impacted members of their organizations at all levels, both personally and professionally.
So keep listening and see what you might be able to apply to your own strengths journey.
You are listening to the Leadership Vision podcast, where we share our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com. Hello, everyone. My name is Nathan Freeberg.
And I'm Sarah Schlipp-Riedel, and we're excited to share just a bit about our work with the Placer County Library System. Placer County is just north and east of Sacramento, California. It's where Lake Tahoe is, for geographic reference. In 2015, we began what has turned into a multi-year engagement.
And since 2017, Sarah and I have been going to California a couple times each year to work with several of their teams at nearly all of their branches.
Yeah, it's been kind of fun to take them all through our core process and have worked extensively with their executive leadership team, doing a deep dive into several of our team engagement series.
So this episode you're about to hear was recorded on a beautiful October afternoon, and we were back there to lead their annual team development for the third year in a row. On the podcast today, you get to hear from Mary George.
My name is Mary George, and I'm the Director of Library Services for Placer County.
and Sophie Bruno.
My name is Sophie Bruno. I'm the Assistant Director of Library Services for Placer County.
Sarah, I'm actually a little bit disappointed with how this interview turned out.
What? Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, okay, the content is great. Don't get me wrong. But in many ways, Sophie and Mary aren't what I would classify as a stereotypical librarian.
Well, hey, careful now.
No. I just mean that when you, like, when most people, I think of a librarian, they might think about someone who just sits and reads books quietly all day long, maybe in the dark with a little book light or something like that.
Well, okay, fair enough. But that's like the opposite of Mary and Sophie.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm not sure that that part of them comes through in this. Well, except for the reading in the dark part.
Let's see. I would describe Mary and Sophie as full of life. Full of life. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's a good way to say it. So actually, Sarah, before we jump into the interview, I just want to share like a couple minute clip here of the part of our from our interview that normally I would just cut it all out. So listen to this.
Okay.
Right. Pretty funny, huh? Okay, so.
All right.
So
we'll
just.
Trust you.
Just,
I am regretting saying yes.
What? What's that, Sophie?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
No, actually, I really need you to say something so that I can test the levels real quick.
Hello? Anybody?
Sophie, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Almond clusters from Target with some whole milk in the dark.
Is that a pretty normal breakfast for you? Do you have more? Normally, did something happen this morning that caused you to have granola in the dark? That sounds sad.
No, I'd gone to the gym earlier and I was reading my ebook, so I had some light to sort of see some ambient light.
Gotcha.
But I also keep all the shutters open so my cats can look out the window, but I don't want weirdos being able to see in. It's dark.
That's a good goal.
That's the crazy cat lady in me.
Okay.
It all becomes clear now.
I appreciate that.
Clear for me.
Mary, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Eggs and a piece of toast. I like to scramble eggs and then stick it on top of the toast.
Yes.
And
how did you cook your eggs?
They were scrambled. Like, I speak English, right?
That's, you know, everybody speaks different languages at different times, and then that's okay.
I ate mine in the dark as well.
You did? Why?
Because it was dark.
Oh. What's up? We are off to a great start here with Mary and Sophie. This is the Placer County interview.
That's
right?
So great.
It's kind of funny.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
And you know, you had to be there, right?
Well, right. It's probably funnier for us since we were there and we know them. But alas, anyway, we're going to skip over their career histories. But just know that Mary and Sophie have been working in the Placer County system for quite some time. And as you'll learn, are deeply invested in the place.
Mm-hmm, that's true. Mm-hmm. Sarah, do you know what I've learned over the past few years of travel to Placer?
That my driving scares you?
Well, yeah, there's that. Sarah, I wasn't going to bring that up. But anyway, more importantly, Sarah, I've learned that a library isn't just a place where you go to borrow books. And librarians aren't just the people who lend them to you. It's all about community.
Well, I think that we are intimately involved in every aspect of our community. We connect. So we connect people with each other, with information, with, you know, their library facilities, with all that, you know, libraries offer. I think it's an infinite amount of resource and dream and information. We prepare your kids for kindergarten with all of our, you know, programming. We, you know, can tell you the best books to read. We're kind of the community Oprah, you know, to everyone. If we don't have the answer, we can find the person who does have the answer. We're the first place that you go when you move to a community. We are the first place you may go if you're diagnosed with cancer or you can't speak English or you don't know how to read. So we try to be a neutral, welcoming environment. There is no one that works for the county that is more dedicated to ensuring that the future is brighter than today, than I think your public librarian. So we will always be on your side.
So it's in this context that we begin our conversation today with a group of people who care deeply and are heavily invested in fulfilling the mission of their organization, which in this case is Placer County Library Connects People and Strengthens Community for a Better Future. As you listen to this episode, I hope you are both encouraged in your own strengths journey, as Nathan and I have been, but can also learn something about the ways in which one organization, with limited resources, has been able to roll up their sleeves and do the hard work of transforming their culture into something rooted and grounded in the philosophy of strengths. Mary and Sophie will be the first to tell you that they haven't arrived yet, but we think they're well on their way.
We'll be right back.
At Leadership Vision Consulting, we have spent 23 years helping individuals explore the depth and dimension of their personal strengths and have helped hundreds of teams build positive culture. We're excited to now announce our new online membership platform that brings together the resources, community, and motivation that you need to grow your influence and build a positive team culture. Through our courses, workshops, live Q&A sessions, and more, you'll gain the skills and confidence you need to lead effectively. And with our supportive community of like-valued leaders, you'll never feel like you're doing it alone. Visit leadershipvisionconsulting.com/community to learn more. Okay, so let's jump into this. Sarah, as you know, organizations reach out to us for a variety of reasons. So my first question for Mary and Sophie was simply to get a better understanding about why they wanted outside help in the first place. Like, was there a specific dysfunction they were trying to fix? Did they, you know, just have a bunch of extra development dollars laying around that they needed to spend, right? Or was it something else entirely?
Well, I'm so curious. What did they say?
Well, Mary said it was about the culture.
We don't do anything, you know, willy-nilly like that. Like, that we just get a landslide of money and we have to spend it rapidly. That has never happened in my career. But we very deliberately said we have a culture that we'd like to change. And how do people change culture? What is happening? I had some colleagues who had done some strength work and had really sworn that it was the way to go. And it was really the positive aspect of it, the idea that your strengths are generative, you know, and that they can be tuned up or down, I thought was a very positive way to affect morale. We had a family, and it functioned as a family with all the good and ill, but in a rapidly changing environment of librarianship, that family didn't work when we wanted to add in how do you manage a department in a profession that is changing so rapidly, and that people have an expectation that it will be more modern. And so because of so much change, I think we really needed to look to something outside of ourselves to help with the change of that culture.
I think it's important to explain here a bit about the library system in Placer.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea, just to give a little broader context.
Yeah, I think so. So the Placer County Library System is made up of 12 different library branches. These are unique branches in distinct communities throughout the county, and all operate a little independently, but are linked through the county resources. They needed something to consistently hold people accountable.
We needed something that would bind us all together. So we needed to start working as a system rather than individual community libraries. We were more powerful like that together, and that's how we were being funded. It's how we were allocating our funds, and so our culture needed to match that allocation of funds.
And Sophie was a branch manager when we first met her. She told us that the culture was very focused on a physical location, and this was a problem.
Having come from Auburn, which at the time Library Administration was in Auburn, you were sort of the nexus, the center of everything that was happening. You were better able to feel what was going on when it was happening. And so when I went to Granite Bay, it was this almost immediate, like, screaming into the void. Like, you feel like, well, is anybody out there? Am I out here by myself? Now all these things don't happen in a vacuum. But then in Rockland, it felt a similar way. So the next location I went, that it was still a little bit, except you're on your own island, and I was the leader of I was the Lord of the Flies a little bit.
So this is the environment that our team was walking into back in 2015, separate spokes with varying degrees of connection to a center hub.
Yeah, it was a challenge to get them aligned, which is why we started with our core process.
Right. Our core process, as a reminder, includes a strengths launch, one-to-one conversations, and a learning community. Initially, we did this with just the branch managers and the leadership team. And as you can imagine, there were some skeptics at first, Sophie, in fact, being one of them.
And I have to admit, though, that I took this test, the StrengthsFinders test, and thought, oh, dear God, what is this? Really? This is no. This is not going to be anything that's helpful. This is like astrology. This is, you're not going to figure out who I am and what I am in 10 minutes. It's not going to happen. And you're definitely not going to figure out who everybody else is. And needless to say, I drank the Kool-Aid a long time ago.
So once we had the leadership team on board, we branched out and had everyone in the entire library system take the StrengthsFinder.
Yeah, and this happened right before our very first all-staff day in September 2017.
That's right. And as you know, Sarah, there were still some skeptics in the group. But Sophie says it at least gave everyone a shared language.
Even the first all-staff day where we came together after having taken the test, it was still more of this, I don't know about this. But then being able to have that shared language and see the differences and how people could talk about themselves or about others in a kind of safe, common way, it was almost immediate coming back to Rockland at the time that staff were saying, they were really connecting with it. And it was immediately a better way for us to manage and a better way to understand the staff that I was supervising for sure.
Sophie, but why?
I think for me, it was definitely the common language or being able to remove the personal, you act this way or you don't act this way, or even the assumption before you even come into a conversation, why are they acting like this? Or Mary and I have talked about the assuming good intent. It's a lot easier to do that when you recognize that it's not about somebody trying to make your day worse or trying to make your life harder as a manager. That's just how they might approach a problem or a situation. And to be able to better understand that even before you sit down with someone or before you even engage with them, that there's always already, you're already well beyond the starting point. You're somewhere else in the race. That made it easier.
One of the benefits for Mary was seeing how this strengths work applied to multiple areas of a person's life, not just their work life.
Yeah, she said it wasn't compartmentalized.
No, exactly, which allowed team members to feel more confident and embrace what makes them unique.
Some people have gone through some tough times, you know. I mean, maybe they've had illness or they've had divorce or they've had, you know, issues come up in their personal life that we've heard, you know, either from them directly or through the grapevine that, you know, they'll say anecdotally that, my strength of, you know, fill in the blank helped me, you know, have this tough conversation with my mom, or this, you know, my son wanted to do this, but I used my communication to, you know, they talk about their strengths as being a life jacket, you know, to difficult issues that come up in their life when they're explaining it to, you know, to other people. So it's even kind of worked its way, you know, through that. And even if they don't like it, you know, even if it's like, oh, my harmony showed up yesterday and this is how, so then they'll tell the story and then we'll all just kind of chuckle about it, you know, like, oh, well, you know, that's how it happens. Other tests I've taken before have been really focused on not who you are, but your work. While this does help you with your work, I'm not just one element of my work. You know, I'm a sister and a daughter and a wife and a director and a friend. And all of those things make me who I am when I show up at work. And I liked the idea that I saw people stand straighter, you know, and embrace their strengths, especially the way that you and Sarah have presented them to us all these years, because they're powerful and they're you and they make you who you are, and you don't have to apologize for how many questions you ask or how significant you want your work to be. It just is how you are. And I think the assuming good intentions is a really strong piece, I think, to all of this. It really does help you embrace even some of the stuff that you think, you know, why is this happening? Well, this is happening because the person needs more context, or the person is deliberative and makes decisions very quickly. Why are they activating?
Nathan, what I find here to be so interesting is this whole notion of Mary saying, "Why are you activating language?" It has become a sort of shorthand for both the team in Placer and for others.
Yeah, totally. I mean, activator is a strength that Mary has, like you, Sarah.
Indeed, I do.
But it also represents a way of speaking that helps people have a better understanding of what a person is doing. And if necessary, you can call them out on it. You know, sometimes your themes need to be a little bit more on here, a little more off here, or whatever the situation calls for.
And what we saw was how this new language had helped this team and others like it. They begin to understand what they need from each other and themselves on a regular basis. The Placer County Library System has made a great investment into the strengths work, but they have taken it well beyond just understanding those 34 definitions.
Yeah, and something Mary has shared with us before is how there was a real lack of trust among the team, specifically and starting with her.
She has publicly stated that before she didn't trust anybody enough to let them in, and for her, thought helping meant doing everything herself.
Yep, and one of the main things they wanted from us early on, Sarah, was to help them learn how to trust one another. And while that's not specifically a quote-unquote strengths thing, well, we believe that it's actually much more important and definitely related. Here, Mary recalls what that was like.
I don't trust anybody enough with how much I love this library system to even have them help me, you know, make it better or help me fix it in any way, shape, or form. And I don't know why that happened. I don't know how I got here, but I know I'm here. And so there's a lot of work to do, and I can't do it all myself. And I'm going to have to trust people, and people are going to have to trust me. Not only my teams, but, you know, the executive leadership in this county and our board of supervisors. So how do I get there? And one of the first things, you know, you did for us was say you need to form an executive team that will help you get the work done. And in order to build trust, you have to start meeting all the time. Yeah, those meetings need to be sacred, and you need to tell them why they're gathered together. So Sophie's out there at whatever branch she was at the time, feeling like she is on her own island. You have to bring her into the fold, and you have to tell her how you need her, and you have to ask her for help. And so I think that was probably the most impactful thing for me was, first of all, doing that, which felt like jumping into a cold water pool, and then seeing all of their faces, you know, seeing my senior librarians and my management team look at me like, we've been waiting for you and we've got you. And that was just, that was very, very powerful.
As consultants, sometimes we forget that people are putting their trust in us. They are trusting us to help their teams get healthy. We don't take that lightly and do not pat ourselves on the back. But Mary spoke to how our approach helped their team get down to the path of trusting one another a bit more.
And I have to give you and Sarah so much credit because we didn't know how to really come together and talk to each other. But I trusted you folks so much that as long as you were there, you were like a comfort blanket, you know, like a familiar piece of you know, our team to all of us. We had all had one-on-ones. We'd all done, you know, the work around that. And so we had trust in you. So it's almost like the trust from Leadership Vision kind of folded into the trust for, you know, our executive leadership team.
And Sophie wasn't in the same leadership role then when we first started as she is now. Right, Sarah?
No, you're right. And she was able to speak to what that trust issue was like from the other side of the proverbial leadership table.
Being able to use strengths to build our executive leadership team, which wasn't necessarily an obvious choice. It wasn't necessarily clear to me that, oh, that's what we need to do. I knew that I had communication and I knew that I had context, and those strengths were very important to how I showed up at work and how much I could care about what I was doing and looking toward the future. And so pulling back the curtain to what it is that we do and have that, again, that common language that allowed us to trust each other, to get to know each other through the learning community and on ourselves, and then be able to take steps as a professional team. So it's not no longer about the personal part, but it's how do you apply it to a government organization, a government department to function better, to run better. Sure, this is all touchy-feely, but now what are we doing with it? Because this is not a hobby. We're not here for fun. We have work that we need to do. And so that made the trust on our side, the non-management side, easier. You know, you could see what the common purpose is, that common vision, and be a part of that. As I do, I also remember that meeting where you and Sarah were saying, okay, well, last time we met, we talked about how important this is, that you guys really need to come together to be able to communicate and form your team. And I said, that's nice. We're not doing that. So what's going on?
What happened there, guys?
What? Yeah. I'm just going to, you know, let's address the elephant in the room that we haven't done that. Why? And when are we going to start? And here we are.
It took a lot of work and a whole team effort to get to the place of greater health where they find themselves today.
Yes, it really has. And while Placer County isn't using strengths to hire new people, in fact, it's actually not at all intended to do that, they do ask new hires to take the assessment shortly after arriving. This gives them a greater sense for how to feed people into projects where they may have some natural interest.
So that's the first thing we do is like, what are their strengths? I mean, we're texting each other after they take the exam. So because we're already starting to fish them into projects and into teams and into getting stuff done. You know, is this somebody who's going to, you know, want to finish a technology project or somebody who's going to work on a collection development policy? Or is this somebody
all
good to,
stuff,
yeah, to work with the friends?
Yeah. So we just finished writing and putting together our strategic plan. And part of that assessment into the needs of the community was to actually talk to community members who don't use the libraries, don't have a library card. And so we needed people the group was called Word on the Street, to go out to the five different districts in the county, stand in front of the grocery stores, in front of the post office, and, you know, with the clipboard, hi, can I talk to you? No. Hi, can I talk to you? But finally get 200 responses from people who stopped and do not have library cards. Mm. And the first thing I did as the person in charge of the Word on the Street crew is say, who has Woo? Who has Woo and is ready to go out and win people over and is not afraid to come into a space that's unfamiliar to them and go for it? And I could just pick out, even without even thinking about it, who it was. They'll be good at this. This is not going to scare them. Or even the folks that that don't have Woo, but you know, maybe they relate to people well, or they are happy to follow what the Woo is doing and fill in where they need to. And yeah, we got pretty good responses.
One thing I would be curious to learn more from Mary and Sophie was, how have they worked with the outliers?
You know, those
people who don't quite fit into the traditional mold of their team members?
Yeah, totally. Because we know that all organizations have this problem, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you are a super creative organization, maybe into marketing, maybe you don't have a lot of those highly disciplined or organized folks.
Right. And if your work is more about the here and now, like what's in front of you just today, maybe there's not a lot of visionary thinking. Well, whatever it is, it's important that you get multiple ways of thinking and you don't just build teams that look at problems the same way. So what did Mary say?
Well, Mary said that while a stereotypical librarian may fit into a mold of some kind, it's exactly those mold-breaking people that they need in order to continue evolving and adding value to their community.
Mold-breaking people.
Yeah, just listen. Mary's explains it quite a bit better than I just did.
Okay.
When you are in a discipline or a profession that is changing so rapidly, the best thing you can do is invite in people who don't have your same, you know, strengths. Because it's the outsiders, the people who know different disciplines, One of the best things we ever did was hire Kelly, who has an organizational development and human resource background. When they can come in and give you some ideas about what's, you know, what's outside your norm, it helps you become less change averse. And it helps you kind of move, like you said, the needle forward. So ideation is one of those strengths that I really love. And it would be the one that I would say needs a corral, you know. So I would like all the ideation people to have like a little net or boundary so that I could, so because I can only, my input can only handle like a few ideas at a time. However, when you listen closely to some of those ideas, they are so impactful. And they're the kinds of things that if you do them, that they make a lasting impression on the entire culture. So they have to be cared for and formulated well. Somebody with responsibility has to take them and nurture them. And then we have to activate on them. And then they're very rich. But it takes a lot of energy in order to find. It's like searching for the biggest Easter egg.
I love how Sophie talked about how libraries should celebrate people with a variety of backgrounds and strengths. Oh, I just love that part.
Libraries and public libraries are so ripe for diversity and difference in who, you know, we serve the public. We serve everybody. Everybody has different strengths and the ways that they can relate to people and connect to people are different based on who they're helping. And so I think it goes back to that common language, because it's that's all well and good, but you still have to get the job done and do it correctly. But just that personal awareness of who you are and how you show up, I really has made a measurable impact on all of our staff at every level. I think whether they've wanted it or not.
Sarah, one of the things I really wanted to know when I interviewed them was what the Placer Library System might do differently if they were starting over with the Strengths Initiative today.
Oh, that is such a fun question. And I think I often wonder that as it relates to so many of our clients. But I think that it would be helpful, too, for anyone who's listening and considering jumping into something like this. Perhaps in Mary and Sophie's reflections, there's something that we can all learn so as not to repeat, you know, mistakes or, you know, things that haven't worked in other places.
Exactly. Mary said that she would have done the second level rollout a bit differently, especially as she tried to form and create a new leadership team.
I tried to form another group besides the executive leadership team that was an epic fail. It was a colossal fail, actually. And it was because I thought that I could go in myself and give them a little introduction piece, kind of similar to what I did with the executive leadership team. I need your help. You know, we need to trust each other. We need to do this. And they weren't having any of it. They weren't buying what I was selling. And it was because they didn't have the benefit of you and Sarah also sitting there. They didn't have the benefit of the learning communities. They didn't know what I was talking about on a deeper level. And I wasn't relating it to strengths at all. And so they were kind of out of their element. I was trying to pretend like, well, I know Nathan and Sarah, and I can do this. And, you know, no, I should have just hired you to come and be there with me and actually do the background work, because then they would have understood, you know, where we were. So sure. you can't go from A to Z with another group of people without really going through the training yourself or having somebody come from Leadership Vision to kind of help you through that process. I didn't give them that respect.
I don't know about you, Nathan, but I sure know that I have tried to take shortcuts here or there in the name of efficiency.
No idea what you're talking about, Sarah. I've never, ever, ever done that.
Baloney. Baloney.
Okay. Maybe once or twice.
Well, look, I think all of us have tried to take shortcuts. Sometimes it works, but when it comes to building a strengths-based team, it does. Sorry, Charlie.
No,
it definitely doesn't.
It definitely does not.
And to Mary's credit, something she did well was to create a system of evaluation metrics to see how this whole process was going along the way.
One of the things I did do, I think, well, and that I would repeat again, is when Joseph and Bethany left, I asked them to write a summary of where they saw us. So you met us when we didn't know you.
Right.
And you've been with us for a year and a half or 2 years. How have we come forward, in your opinion? And so when they wrote that down, that gave me a milestone. And that milestone I could use to get more money for future development. And so I would say keep track, because you'll look up at 4 years later and you will not recognize your culture or your teams. And you won't be able to know why unless you keep track of all the work that you've done with Leadership Vision and take stock and then be able to look back and tell your staff, hey, remember when we didn't trust each other? Remember when we didn't do this? You know, yeah. Remember when we were just a family and not, you know, not fully functioning as a, you know, as a business? And you just don't, we're really good at pointing out the things that we don't do, but we're not great just as humans at pointing out, look how far we've come.
It's the celebration aspect of
it. Right, right. And so it's important to be able to justify why you want to keep doing something. It's important to have some kind of idea of where you're going in that.
Sarah, I'd totally forgotten that Mary made a point to talk with Brian a while back. Do you remember that? That's our boss, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah, I do remember. And in anticipation for that, I was a little worried, like, uh-oh, are we in trouble?
No, we weren't in trouble.
I know. Well, I learned that after the fact. And I wasn't terribly concerned. But when a client asks to talk to the boss, you know, you wonder.
Why did she do that, though?
Well, what I now better understand is that she wanted to better understand where our company was going, which is really smart. And I think regardless of what consulting firm anyone may hire to help their team, it's important. It's important to understand the underlying philosophy of that organizational culture to see if it meshes well with yours. Like, you know, do your visions align? Are you coming from the same place or a similar place? That matters.
Where are you going? Because how can I adjust my culture and my business to go where you're going? Because I find all of you very inspirational. And so when I'm creating vision or when Sophie and I are working on that, like, we're excited that you've taken on this Daring Greatly piece. We were reading those books anyway. And so we love... And I knew that you were kind of going in that direction, so we can kind of hone our skills around that as well. I just think that it's important to, if you're going to be partners with us, to keep you on the path of our vision as well.
As consultants, we want to work with clients who are open to this work and to truly making a difference in the lives of their people.
Indeed we do. And when we have clients like that, I think it makes it easier. Sophie said that if she could start over today, she would have liked to bring along more of the staff earlier. And in doing that, she thinks it would have eliminated some of the divide that has been created.
When you're in the executive leadership team, you have drawn back the curtain and then you've stepped inside and you've pulled it closed again. And so nobody else really knows what's going on. Yes, definitely what the wizard is up to. And so there's still that us versus them. There's still that, oh, you've drunk the Kool-Aid. And then even taking that next step to an administrative role, I think that was apparent for me too, coming farther into the, I don't know how I can continue the metaphor of the Land of Oz, but...
further along in the Olympic road.
Right, yes, thank you. I think it would have been more beneficial to all of our team, whether it was librarians or some of our library staff, to go along this journey a little bit sooner, to make that commitment to that sort of functionality of strengths and trust, because it strengths was the starting point, but it was really about When you share that bit about yourself and you were sharing with each other, that you are building trust without really realizing it, that and that has a great impact on morale and therefore how you can serve the community better and how you can relate to the communities that you serve. and understand why someone with woo might be good at this job, but someone with ideation or someone with harmony would be better. You know, it just really, really depends. And so, yeah, if I had my druthers, we could have done more of it sooner. It was not just about, sure, ELT gets the resource, or ELT is, of course they've drunk the Kool-Aid. Of course they love strengths. How does it benefit us? Is to show, you know, instead of tell. I think that was what our problem, a part of our problem with trying to form that group ourselves, is we had so much trust, and of course it's going to work. We know what we're doing. We've been doing this for 4 years. Of course it's going to be fine. It wasn't even a question, really. And then it was like a punch in the face. Like, what just happened? Why don't you trust me? Oh, right. We haven't talked about any of this.
So, Sarah, to wrap up the interview, I asked Mary why they've invested so much into this work.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
Yeah, it was. And I think her answer can apply to any organization in any industry. Essentially, it comes down to the people, right?
100%.
Yeah, the Placer County Library invests about 80% of its total budget dollars into salaries. So, in Mary's words,
why wouldn't you want those people to be the best that they could possibly be? And when we come to work, we want to give as much as we possibly can to every customer that we meet. And we can't do that if we don't have the right tools or the right mindset to do it. Customer service feels really good if you do it really well. You know, it nurtures your soul. It's not drudgery. It doesn't feel like work. If you have a servant heart and you're service oriented, you just need somebody to recognize that and to give you the correct tools so that you can keep on doing what you're doing and get out of your way. And so to me, it's like investment in your people it's crucial. Why wouldn't you do that?
That's significant. And, you know, Mary even went on to make the point that when you get your master's degree in library sciences, just like in many professions, they teach you all about the library stuff, but not necessarily about the whole managing people part of it. You know, our work, building strengths-based people, teams, and culture, it may help to bridge that gap in the library or any industry involving people.
Which, just for point of fact, is all of them, right? There's
correct.
People in every industry, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Our staff is our most important resource. So if we're putting all this investment into this resource, why wouldn't you want them to be as talented as they possibly can? I mean, I guess I didn't really think about the idea that our business is not about us or the profit that we make. Our business is how we can better serve our community and to know each other, to work better in teams, to understand how it is that we access different problems or situations and why, you know, it just makes perfect sense. But I mean, we're doing that to give back to the communities that we serve. We're not doing it's not about us or what we can get out of it. It is, as Mary said, it's your servant heart, your service oriented self. What are you going to do with it?
In closing, we just want to say thanks to Mary and Sophie for their time,
and to the entire Placer team for all of their hard work over these past few years.
It has truly been an honor to work with the team and see how far they all have come. Melissa and I look forward to coming back in just a few months and to continue helping you move forward as you evolve and change.
Wait a minute, you're going back without me?
Wait, you have a conflict, remember? Yeah. Plus, we're starting the Dare to Lead stuff.
Oh, yeah, I know, but still, can I just tag along?
Well, I could try to squeeze you in my suitcase, but, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that I don't know if what would be more dangerous, going in your suitcase or driving with you in a car while you drive. just kidding. Sarah, okay, so all that aside, I would love to go back. I know that I can't, but I did want to play one last thing for you here. So, Sarah, as you know, and listeners, as you know, I have full editing discretion over all this, right? I can add in, I can take out whatever. And I told Sarah, like, don't talk about us like we're so wonderful, blah, 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 because I wanted to be this about them and a little bit more universal that other people can, like, learn from. But Mary made me swear to keep this next part in, so that's why it's in. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, boy. What is it? I can't wait.
Well, it's not bad. Just listen.
Okay.
Can I just say, like, in closing, I mean, sure. Like, I know you guys are like, I don't want to talk about us.
I'll just
it's
cut
not
this
really,
all out,
yeah,
Mary, so
go ahead and
cut
it all out. but I, you know, I told Kelly, I said, you need to find a consultant that can do this work for us, but that will understand that we're not fully cooked. Cool. You know, somebody's going to come in and not just go, what has happened here? You know, like, this is a war zone, and we've been through some trauma, and there's some stuff that needs to change. And I didn't want anybody who was all judgy and who was going to start saying, this is what we did wrong. I wanted somebody who was going to give us a hug and just say, everything's going to be okay. And this isn't anything we haven't seen before. And that's what I got. And okay. So whatever is happening in your teams, however you're learning about each other, however you share with each other, and whatever leadership that Brian is providing to you, it shows up the minute that you step in the front door. And it shows up exactly like that, like, here to help. So.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Maybe I'll leave that in. I don't know.
Yeah, don't edit it out, please.
Okay.
Okay, I will call Brian.
Oh, my goodness. I know you will, too, Mary. I know you will.
Look at her eyes.
Classic Mary.
I know. She's lovely. She can thank us later for leaving that in, I guess. But thank you, listener, for listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, where we share our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture.
For more resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your organization, visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com.
And if you found value from this episode or any of our content, we'd really appreciate it if you would subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Woo! That's a lot. Lots of options. That's good. Always good
even
to have
Alexa.
Options.
Even on Alexa, Sarah.
Even on Alexa, that gal. She's got our back. All right. Please share this podcast and our other resources with anyone who you think might benefit from going deeper into our strengths-based approach to individual, team, and organizational development.
I'm Nathan Freeberg.
And I'm Sarah Schlupp-Riedel. And on behalf of our entire team,
thanks for listening.
Come on.
Kinda. Should we try it again?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm Nathan Freeberg.
And I'm Sarah Schlupp-Riedel. And on behalf of our entire team,
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. You got to say it faster. I'm Nathan Freeberg.
I said it fast. You said it.
No, you didn't. I will play it back and show you. I'm Nathan Freeberg.
And I'm Sarah Schlupp-Riedel. And on behalf of our entire team,
thanks for listening. Close enough. Thank you, Sarah. Okay. I'm going to stop recording.